Welcome to a personal growth episode of the IP Management Voice. In our personal growth series, we'll guide you on how to enhance your IP system contribution and maximize your professional impact. Tune in to gain valuable insights to help you advance personally and in your career as an IP expert. This episode introduces a systematic approach to international business development for IP law firms. It shows that cross-border success doesn't come from sporadic networking, but from a disciplined, evidence-based model.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Now, if you're operating in those really specialized professional services, particularly intellectual property, you probably felt it. The old way of getting international business, it's just not working anymore. Forget the sporadic networking trips, you know, the odd conference here and there. They don't really deliver repeatable results. Not consistently. International business development has fundamentally shifted. It's not just about relationships anymore. It's become a measurable digital operating system. So today we're doing a serious deep dive. We're looking at a specific white paper from the IP Business Academy, and it focuses squarely on international business development for the IP subject matter expert. Our goal here is pretty clear. Get past the vague strategies. We want the actual blueprint. How do you consistently build high-quality visibility? And then this is the key part. Turn that into qualified conversations across different countries. And specifically, how does this IP subject matter expert model speed things up? Because we know this is usually slow, trust-based work.
Yeah, that acceleration bit, that's probably the biggest takeaway here. It really signals a huge shift. Business development isn't just, you know, a side activity anymore. It has to be a core operating discipline. It's tied directly to strategy, to risk, to your firm's whole reputation. We're moving away from those big, expensive one-off campaigns, definitely, towards building something more resilient, a documented framework that builds on itself year after year.
Okay, let's start with the market itself.
Yeah.
Because the pressures on firms, they've changed a lot, haven't they? The sources really hammer this point. Client decision-making is just different now. You see, global consolidation of panels, right, and procurement, they're involved much earlier, shaping who even gets considered.
Precisely. And decision-makers, they're expected to do their homework now. They learn, they shortlist, they qualify potential advisors online, often months before they even pick up the phone or send an email. So if your expertise isn't out there, consistently visible, substantive, you know, showing authority online, internationally, you might fail the pre-qualification stage before you even know you're being considered, especially in those high-value markets.
Which leads to this really interesting contradiction the paper calls the core paradox. Borderless demand, local proof. So the need might be global, like a patent portfolio across Asia, Europe, the US, but the trust, that's still built locally. Jurisdiction by jurisdiction.
Absolutely. That's the tightrope walk. You need a globally coherent message about your expertise. Clear, consistent, but, and it's a big but, you have to back that up with local proof. Specific evidence, local capabilities. You need to show you get the big picture and you can handle the details in, say, Munich, Milan, and Shanghai.
Okay, so the paper argues the win comes from the system, the operating model, not just a one-off campaign. What does that actually look like? What are the parts of this documented operating model?
It really comes down to documented routines. Things like clearly defined positioning, that dictates everything else. A regular, predictable content cadence. Specific distribution plans targeting the right people, the buyer personas. And this is critical, feedback loops using the right KPIs. Real metrics, the system gives you resilience. Campaigns, well, they rely more on luck, don't they?
And the complexity of IP just makes this even more crucial. We're seeing so much innovation, AI, digital health, climate tech. Firms can't just be experts in IP law anymore, can they?
No, they really can't. The pressure is immense to show you understand the sector as well as the law. The firms pulling ahead internationally, they're the ones consistently publishing content that blends that deep legal knowledge with real, demonstrable sector insight. It's basically table stakes now for cross-border work.
Okay, let's unpack this then. If that's the environment and the mindset needed, what are the actual habits, the core principles that turn expertise into visibility and trust?
Well, it really starts and maybe even ends with what the paper calls signature positioning. This means getting crystal clear on a defensible expert narrative. It needs to combine three things precisely: your topic, your target industry, and your unique method or approach. And that narrative has to be strong enough to travel internationally, you know, without getting fuzzy or losing meaning.
Could you give an example? Like, what's the difference between just saying you do IP and having signature positioning?
Sure. It's like saying we handle software patents for tech companies. Okay, that's generic. Mm-hmm. Versus saying we specialize in securing IP for medtech wearable sensors, and we use an adversarial methodology focused specifically on user experience patent claims. See the difference? The second one is sharp, memorable, defensible. It signals immediate, specific value to a very particular international buyer.
Right. And that clarity then leads to the next principle, evidence first. Especially overseas, just claiming expertise isn't enough. The risk for the buyer is higher.
Exactly. You absolutely have to publish tangible proof. Stuff that de-risks the decision for that international buyer. We're talking assets beyond just a testimonial. Things like anonymized case stories showing complex outcomes, quantifiable results, maybe data on reduced litigation risk or faster patent grants in specific countries. This is the concrete stuff that gives decision makers and procurement the confidence they need.
And rhythm matters hugely here. Cadence and consistency. Why is being irregular so bad in international BD?
Because international visibility, it's built on memory and trust over time. And that demands a predictable rhythm. The sources suggest minimum a weekly or maybe bi-weekly series. If you just post randomly, you know, once in Feb, then nothing till June, you're basically hitting the reset button on audience memory every single time. Internationally, where trust builds slowly across cultures, that inconsistency looks unprofessional, like you lack commitment or maybe even the resources.
Okay, but this sounds like it could get complicated fast. Localization without dilution. Keeping the message sharp, but adapting it locally. How do firms manage that risk, especially around compliance?
It takes a lot of discipline, which, frankly, is why the platform approach helps so much. The core, the master narrative, that stays anchored in English. That's your strategic backbone internationally. Local adaptation should really be limited to just two things. Specific compliance notes managed by a local counsel, obviously, and maybe some jurisdiction-specific examples or case studies to make it resonate culturally. But the strategic clarity, the core message, that cannot get diluted, even if the examples change.
Got it. And finally, tracking it all, the KPI feedback loop, moving past those vanity metrics, right? Likes, views. What's a real lead marker here?
Yeah, we need to stop chasing likes. A lead marker signals real buyer intent. Early stage, maybe, but real. So we're tracking things like, how often does a decision maker save your proof asset or forward your post internally with a comment, replies asking for specific follow-up, invitations to speak at a very targeted industry event. These are actions you can track with good platform analytics, and they tell you if your strategy is actually working, allowing you to adjust.
That need for precision tracking brings us nicely to segment three. And this is where it gets really interesting, I think, how this IP subject matter expert model seems to solve that huge internal production bottleneck most firms face. It feels like the key to scaling this whole thing.
It really is. The IP subject matter expert model, it's fundamentally a cooperation framework designed for scale. And it works because it clearly divides the labor. You identify a named expert, maybe a focus pair, and they become the consistent, recognizable face for a very specific topic. Across different channels, different formats.
So tell us more about that split. What does the expert actually do, and what does the platform handle?
The whole idea is maximum leverage from minimum expert time, so the IP subject matter expert. They focus their time, often maybe just 60, 90 minutes a week, on the core substance, providing the deep knowledge, the insights, the review, the teaching moment, if you will, and the platform team. They handle basically everything else, the planning, scripting, visuals, QA, compliance checks, the distribution, engaging with the community. It takes away that like 80% overhead of just producing and publishing. So the expert can focus on substance and actual client interaction.
And why does that structure work so well for building trust across different countries, different cultures?
Because trust can start to scale beyond just personal handshakes. When you have this consistent, regular flow of high-quality teaching-style content from a recognized IP subject matter expert, their reputation grows way beyond their personal network. It creates this layer of recognized expertise, this authority that crosses borders much more efficiently than trying to meet everyone face-to-face in every single market.
Are you an IP professional looking to grow your practice through digital channels? Then check out the Resource Hub linked in the show notes. It's built specifically for IP experts who want to improve their visibility and attract new clients. You'll find tools, templates, and strategies for content marketing, LinkedIn, business development, and much more. Everything is designed to help you grow smarter without needing to become a marketing expert yourself. Take a look and see what fits your goals. End of advertisement.
The sources mention a very structured onboarding process, the 90-day ramp structure. Can we walk through that quickly? Why is the order so important?
Absolutely. The structure forces discipline and accountability. So phase one is positioning. You have to nail down that signature narrative first and pick your priority target markets. If you skip this, everything that follows will be unfocused. Topic sprawl.
Okay. Nail the positioning. Then what?
Phase two defines the what, formats and cadence. This is where you lock in that recurring weekly series, the main teaching part, plus the monthly proof asset for evidence and maybe a quarterly conversation format, like a focused virtual roundtable. It establishes that rhythm we talked about.
I see. So clarity first, then rhythm, which leads to
execution.
Mm-hmm.
Phase three is production and QA. Detailed editorial planning, efficient scripting, and absolutely vital for international formal compliance checks before anything goes live. Then phase four, distribution and engagement. Using the platform's tools to actively push the content to the right buyer personas, the right referrers. You can't just publish and pray.
Makes sense. And the final step closes the loop.
Exactly. Review and optimize. Regular reviews of those KPIs, those real lead markers. This lets you continuously tweak the message, refine the method, make sure you're actually hitting the target markets and sparking those qualified conversations.
The paper mentions specific partnered channels enabling this, like the IP management letter, IP management voice for audio, DIPlex profiles and dossiers for searchability. It suggests this model really needs a platform to work efficiently at scale.
Yeah, I'd say it's highly platform dependent for maximum impact. To get that global scale and consistency without burning out your IP subject matter expert, you really need to leverage an established ecosystem. Those channels handle the smart distribution, make sure the expertise is tagged correctly so it's findable not just by the expert's name, but by the actual problems they solve, the sectors they serve. That kind of structural findability is gold internationally.
Okay, let's shift gears into segment four. Best practices, but maybe even more useful, the common mistakes. What are the efficient habits the sources point to?
Efficiency often comes from serial storytelling. You know, creating recurring series, clear themes, it builds anticipation, keeps people coming back. And also, refer engagement. Not just passively hoping for referrals, but structured collaboration. Working with complementary boutiques, maybe regional council, even key in-house leaders. Getting their implicit or explicit endorsement adds huge credibility across borders.
Right. And the flip side, what are the big mistakes that stop this from working long term?
Oh, the number one killer is definitely topic sprawl. Trying to be known for too many things, it just dilutes the IP subject matter experts' positioning completely, makes them impossible to remember, especially for diverse global audiences. If you're not sharp and focused, you become globally forgettable.
We mentioned it before, but that lack of focus often goes hand in hand with inconsistency.
Absolutely. Posting irregularly breaks the memory cycle, like we said, but it also sends bad signals internationally, lack of commitment, maybe resource issues. Also, definitely avoid overpromotion. Content that just feels like an ad gets ignored instantly. People want real, practical insights, not sales pitches. And stick to tracking the real lead markers, getting caught up in vanity metrics like raw views or likes. That just leads to false confidence and wasted effort.
Looking forward now, how is tech changing things for this IP subject matter expert model?
Well, AI is becoming really central. It's moving beyond just theory. AI is going to massively help with things like topic discovery, spotting emerging legal questions faster, helping draft outlines, and crucially, automating the detection of those lead markers we talked about. That should really speed up the content creation and the lead nurturing cycles.
You mentioned a shift away from just broad reach.
Yes. The trend is definitely towards micro communities. Less about spraying content everywhere on big generic platforms, more about deep, sustained engagement within very specific niches, like, say, user experience patents just within medtech, or IP strategy for biomaterials in the green energy space. These focused communities, they have much, much higher conversion rates when you're dealing internationally.
And the way people find information is changing, too, because of AI search.
It is. Search engines are already starting to prioritize authoritative, structured content. That means things like consistent series, well-organized glossaries, clean data. Why? Because AI summarizing tools need structured, reliable input. Unstructured blog posts, they're likely to get penalized. If your content isn't set up to be easily understood by machines as authoritative, it's going to lose visibility.
So wrapping this up, what's the big picture here? It feels like the main takeaway is that international BD now demands clarity, rhythm, and solid proof. And it needs to be run through a predictable system that really supports the IP subject matter expert, rather than relying on ad hoc efforts from them.
That sums it up perfectly. And for anyone listening who wants a concrete first step, the source materials suggest a really practical 100-day plan. Pick three priority markets. Define one sharp signature narrative. Launch one recurring weekly series supported by one solid monthly proof asset. That structure alone forces immediate focus and accountability. It gets you started.
Okay. And a final thought. Something provocative for our listeners to chew on from this deep dive into the IP subject matter expert model.
I think it's this idea of compounding presence as a genuine structural advantage. The more consistently an IP subject matter expert puts out substantive insights across multiple synchronized formats, you know, serialized content, referenced properly, amplified through the right channels, the stronger their authority signal becomes. It builds and builds. This creates a digital footprint that doesn't just exist. It actually grows in relevance and trustworthiness over time, turning that platform participation from just doing content into a real, durable structural advantage for long-term international growth. And that's incredibly hard for competitors to just replicate overnight.
Thanks for tuning into this personal growth episode. You can find more in-depth resources on this topic and many others in our resource hub, linked in the show notes. And remember, if you have questions about personal growth or boosting your IP system contribution, feel free to reach out anytime.